talking about our home. Talking about me and you. Things we'll do or say to home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Custom Home and Remodel Show, and Charleston's online home show, newhomecharleston.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
They made their house from a tool shed, granddaddy rolled down on too long. They built walls all around it, and they made that house a home. And they taught us about good living, they taught us right and wrong. Lord, there'll never be another place in this world I'll call home.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. That was Alan Jackson with Home, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home. And special thanks to our show producer, Colin Voigt, for putting today's show together. And if you have a home theme song that you'd like us to play at the beginning of our radio show, just visit the Charleston Home and Design Magazine's Facebook page and make a comment requesting a song, and we will play your request, and we'll also send you a free Charleston Home and Design Magazine t-shirt. Well, in addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the three custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which is coming up January 27th through the 29th at the brand new Gilliard Center in downtown Charleston. Also, Charleston's only open-air home show, the Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival, which takes place every April at Volvo Car Stadium on Daniel Island, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August at the brand new Gilliard Center in beautiful downtown Charleston. Well, today we've got a really good show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with, today's radio show is being hosted, by the way, by Fine Rugs of Charleston, and we'll be talking with Rob Leahy and Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston. Also, landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. Also, Walter Linville with All Pro Crawl Spaces. And finally, we've got a really interesting interview with Glenn Klepchik with KBRS Micro Factory. And that's a very long name. But you really need to listen to that, because it will help save you some money and a whole lot of hassle on leaks in your shower, which will happen without the KBRS shower pan. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and today's radio show is coming to you from Fine Rugs of Charleston. And Fine Rugs of Charleston is located at 1523 Meeting Street Road in the Upper Peninsula of Charleston. And now we're talking with Rob Leahy and Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston. How you folks doing?
We're good.
Fine, Tim. How you doing?
Just fine. Take a moment and tell everybody about Fine Rugs of Charleston.
Well, Fine Rugs is a full-service rug and carpet company in... We've been here for 15 years. We've really enjoyed being here, and we've grown nicely. We've have two stores now at the one you described at the Upper Peninsula, and then we also have an outlet store near the Tanger Malls at 3032 West Montague.
When you say Fine, your name Fine Rugs of Charleston, we're not talking about carpeting. Kind of describe the types of rugs that people will find at Fine Rugs of Charleston.
For the most part, we sell handmade wool rugs. But insofar as Broadloom, we have a selection of practically, well, it's thousands of samples of better Broadloom carpet that we fashion into rugs. We call them fitted rugs. So in addition to handmade styles, whether they be Oriental designs or very contemporary designs, we also make Broadloom into rugs.
I gotcha. And Rob, you take trips to the Mideast to purchase these rugs, right?
I do, yes. And as you see, coming in here today, you tripped over quite a number that I just bought 2 weeks ago when I was in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Istanbul during the hurricane.
Mm.
So it's kind of ironic that I was safer in Istanbul than I would have been in Charleston.
That's true.
But yes, I do go overseas a couple times a year and bring back what I find.
Gotcha. I've heard in the past that if people are looking for a starting point to create a room, that they should always start with the rug first. Is that accurate?
It is, and it's a matter of logic, because the colors in a particular rug, there could be 5, 6 or more colors in a rug. If any of those contrast with other textiles or colors, even paint, that you've chosen, you have a very difficult time. So the logic is you choose the item in your rooms that has the least selection available to you first.
Mm-hmm.
So you would choose the colors in your rug first and then work into the room, the colors in your upholstery, and then do your paint last, because mm-hmm. it's the only thing that comes in any color you can imagine.
And people probably do that backwards, so that they've got their upholstered furniture, and then they say, they bring in a sample and say, how can we match this up to a to complement it with a rug? And that,
yes,
sometimes is difficult to do.
Yes, because the rugs only come in a limited selection of colors. Now, we do custom rugs, but you're talking about a much longer lead time and typically greater expense.
Mm-hmm.
It even confuses me sometimes, but it makes sense to choose whatever you get can find in the fewest range of colors first.
Gotcha. And Rob, you recently opened an outlet store. Talk about the outlet store briefly.
Well, the outlet store gives us an opportunity to serve customers who would like to buy something at a more moderate price than we typically offer at fine rugs here, but they don't want to buy it on the internet because they want to see it and feel it and really make sure it goes with their fabrics before they buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that customer is, you would call them, they're in the middle, and they're largest number of customers fall into that category.
Mm-hmm. And buying a rug at Fine Rugs of Charleston or the Fine Rugs of Charleston Outlet Center, it's not like buying a rug at like a big box store or something like that. It's you really do get what you pay for.
You really do, because most of the items in that store have been marked down from our selection here at the main store.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting the style and fashion that is present here.
If someone buys an expensive rug, or it might be expensive for them, you know, maybe they're used to buying $200 rugs, and now they're buying maybe a $1,000 rug. Are they going to have to worry and you know, kind of create a museum at home where you can't, you know, you can't eat in the living room anymore? You can't. What happens if you spill? It's going to be like a major crisis.
It's always a crisis when a spill happens. But when you've bought a product that is made with durable methods, durable materials and methods of manufacturing, you can get it clean. I'll give you a little example. During the storm I was away, I mentioned, we had some water come into the back. And when it came in, it got on quite a number of rugs. It got on some of our very, very expensive rugs, hand-knotted wool. They all came perfectly clean.
Mm.
The ones that were lower priced, that were made using different methods called tufting, or much more less expensive methods, they were all ruined and we had to replace them.
Mm. So if it's made out of wool, for example, that's going to clean up a lot easier because it's a natural product than
yes.
A textile that's
a man-made synthetic product. Yeah.
Synthetic. Got it. Well, speaking of synthetic products, I understand Fine Rugs of Charleston, you folks are launching an alternative hard surface part to your business. What does that mean when you say alternative hard surface?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me pass it over to Rhiannon, who is heading up that part of our business.
Okay.
So when we refer to alternative hard surface, that includes things like bamboo and cork flooring. We also have a lot in the ways of luxury vinyl tiles that look like woods or, you know, actual stone. So there's a lot of components right now. Luxury vinyl tile seems to be a pretty popular textile in homes and commercial spaces. So we thought it was best to expand into that to meet, you know, the needs of our customer, as well as offering things a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the corks and bamboos, there's blended products together, and they just kind of give you, you know, different alternatives, different price points to hardwoods,
mm-hmm.
and you can really kind of get creative with them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You may have tripped up a few of our listeners out there as soon as you said vinyl,
mm-hmm.
because, for example, I've our old house that we rent out now, I just had someone pull out the linoleum,
the old vinyl, yeah.
the old linoleum vinyl that you know comes in a big giant roll and rolls out and replaced it with tile.
Mm-hmm.
So. You serve a lot of very high-end customers, and so why are high-end customers buying luxury vinyl tile? What can you describe it?
Of course. So that's something we kind of toyed with as well. When you hear the word vinyl, it can sometimes have a negative, you know, stimulus around mm-hmm. it, be it, oh, it's cheap, or oh, it doesn't look good, and things mm-hmm. like that. So now I think with, like, production techniques advancing the way they do, these products are not rolled sheet goods, so they don't have that thin kind of plastic-looking quality to them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are in planks that come in varying sizes, so you can place them in a way that you get this, you know, tailored look. You mm-hmm. have some planks that are 3 inches and some that are 4, and then you look more like a hardwood floor for mm-hmm. a much lesser price point. They've also... a lot of the vendors that we'll be carrying for these products, these vinyl products, offer hand scraping finishes and beveled edges so that when they are positioned together, you get that dimensional look of a higher priced, you know, quality
hardwood.
Product.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, folks shouldn't let the word vinyl kind of deter them from something. We've even had folks that were tried and true hardwood flooring customers that are now open to using vinyl for its waterproof qualities, for its expense, or, you know, less expense. And also, there's really no maintenance
mm-hmm.
involved in things like this. You kind of lay them down, and yes, you'll sweep them and mop them every mm-hmm. so often, but you don't need to re-wax. You don't need to refinish. And a lot of them, they don't scratch in the way that woods would.
Well, one big thing that I want to ask you about is, will anyone be able to tell? I mean, are the luxury vinyl tile does it have the appearance of real wood or real tile or does it look, you know, are people going to take one look at it and say, oh, that's cheap?
Yeah. So again, just like Rob is mentioning, there's all price points, there's all levels of quality. And while we do cater to a higher end clientele, we do want to show things that, you know,
mm-hmm.
can be more attainable to most as well. So some do look better than others. Like I said, some of the higher end have hand scraped, they have beveled edge. There are some that are just kind of flat and butt up against each other. So again, I think it really matters on the client's needs, but there are some that if you put it next to a swatch of hardwood,
mm-hmm.
you can barely tell the difference.
Hmm. And it's not laminate flooring. Difference. What's the difference between laminate flooring and luxury vinyl tile?
So I'll call out one vendor in particular that we use. The great thing there is when you order their product, everything you need is in that piece.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to glue it. You can click it together over your existing piece. It's also got some cork in there to kind of hold it tight and help with a little resiliency and sound absorption. So it's kind of, you know, a less work-intensive installation as mm-hmm. well. You know, there's a lot less that goes into it. You say, hey, my room's 100 square feet. We sell you 100 square feet of the product and we install it, but there's not the, okay, well, now I have to come have someone coat it, or in 2 years I need to wax it, or, mm-hmm. you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So it looks just like the real thing, and it's less expensive mm-hmm. than hardwood. And it's a huge trend that's spreading across the nation. So people, our listeners should take note of that, that this is not us trying to convince you to buy something. Others in other markets are buying it like crazy.
Right. Well, what I think the biggest prompt for us to get into this was, well, we had a client come in and say, do you offer this? I need it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we knew there's a need there with our customer base. However, a lot of our vendors and our representatives for carpet were telling us, hey, we have a division that does this as well. We're selling it like crazy to places like hotels that now, rather than replacing carpet in the guest rooms every so often, if they put this down, it's good for quite mm-hmm. some time. So we had thought that if things keep moving forward and the popularity of the luxury vinyls and alternative hard surfaces increase, that then there'd be a component to our business we're missing out on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it just kind of goes hand in hand with the needs of both residential and commercial customers.
Right, right. So it's showing up in high-end hotels and high-end restaurants and
definitely
high-end homes. That's awesome. Well, how can folks get more information about Fine Rugs of Charleston?
We do have a website. We are on social media, Instagram and Facebook, for both the main showroom on Meeting Street, and we do have some pages for the outlet as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's also websites that give more information about each business, and the outlet has one as well that does its best to keep up with inventory and current styles mm-hmm. there, so folks can kind of know what they can come in and see at any given time. So follow us.
Okay, great. Well, we have been talking with Rob Leahy and Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston, and thank you to Fine Rugs of Charleston for hosting today's radio show.
You're welcome, Tim. Thank you very much for coming.
I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and if you're just joining us, today's radio show is coming to you from Fine Rugs of Charleston, located at 1523 Meeting Street Road in the Upper Peninsula of downtown Charleston. And now we're talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architectural Studio. How you doing, J.R.?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Sure. J.R., take a moment and tell everybody about Remark Landscape Architectural Studio.
Yeah, we're a landscape architectural studio here in Charleston in the Upper Peninsula, right in the heart of a renaissance that's going on in the Upper Peninsula. Mm-hmm. We're going into our 10th year in business already. It's just time has flown by.
That's great. What's your background? You've been doing landscape architecture for 10 years. What did you do before this?
I've actually been practicing for 17 years in the Low Country. So I've worked with multiple firms, from multi-discipline to urban design firms, before starting my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife and I, we started Remark September 2007, right before the recession started.
Okay. And your wife is a landscape architect as well?
She's a landscape architect, homeschool teacher, and mom. She works very hard.
No kidding. Three jobs. And you're a veteran as well.
I am. Yeah, I was in the Air Force for 4 years. And that's where I was stationed in Charleston. And that's where I fell in love with the Low Country.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
And now you're doing what you love as a landscape architect. What is a landscape architect?
Yeah, we are. That's a good question, because a lot of people don't know. We're such a small profession, but we design the outdoor environment. I mean, I have a degree in landscape architecture from University of Georgia School of Environmental Design,
mm-hmm.
and out of school, I practiced with another landscape architect for at least 2 years before I took a test. So much like an architect, you have to
have an internship
before you can become a landscape architect.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do, we design the outdoor environment, everything from someone's backyard to an urban design to master planning a community.
Mm-hmm.
We work with architects and engineers, and work with landscape contractors to get our projects built.
Mm-hmm. And many developments, well, almost every development requires a landscape architect, and within those developments, a lot of times when you're building a new house, they'll ask you to hire a landscape architect to present a plan for what the outside environment of your house is going to look like.
That's very true. There's several communities, whether from Kiowa to Seabrook, higher end communities. The Ion requires a landscape architect. Beresford Hall. That's just to name a few that I know off the top of my head where we work at that require landscape architects. And there's several reasons for that. One is the drainage plans. We're trained to do drainage plans, and as we can see from Matthew in last October, water in the Lowcountry is really important in how we're dealing with that. And as a firm, we really look hard at all of our projects, and including stormwater management in our designs.
Mm-hmm. That is a huge deal, and a lot of times people don't know they have a problem until there's a big rain, and then they look outside and there's a mini lake in their backyard, or maybe their patio has got some spots where water is standing and so forth.
Yeah, that's true. So what we try to do, we look at all the things. Like if it's a renovation of a garden, we look at, try to pinpoint, is there issues, is there not, or are there potential for future issues? Because we always look at where's the water going. And what we try to do is keep the water on site as much as possible before we have to take it off site. Mm-hmm. So we do an integrated approach with our design, from permeable pavings, integrating French drainage, to native plants that soak up that water, and try to create creative solutions for that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they love working with their hands outdoors. They love getting their hands dirty. They may not feel like they need the services of a landscape architect, but you actually have several customers who maybe try to do it on their own and then called in Remark Landscape Architectural Studio.
Yeah, because sometimes we don't have to do a detailed plan, but what we could do is provide a master plan with a really good bones that can evolve over time. But what we're doing is creating spaces. And sometimes that's where the key is. They may know what kind of plants they want, but it's the scale and the feeling that you're trying to get. And that comes down to how to plan the space properly for the use that they want.
And if you have a plan, it doesn't necessarily all have to be implemented at once. It can be phased in, right?
That is correct. And it's something, too, like a lot of times when people are building houses, they don't think about this. They'll think, oh, landscaping is at the very end. But a lot of times, if they get in early enough, they could hire us and they can roll in our fees and designs and things into their construction loan.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't realize that.
That's true. And not to mention the fact that outdoor living is huge in the Lowcountry. And if you're waiting until the very end to address the, what's going to happen outside of your house, you may be missing some opportunities to be able to integrate the landscape so that you can use it as an outdoor living spaces.
That's very true. We try to work a lot of our projects very early on with the architects, so that way we can have that inside-outside feeling. We're looking at details that they're doing, and then we share, like, well, what did you think about doing this with this room that maybe can go out into the pool? Because we're looking at views beyond the property lines, and how does, again, achieving that space and feeling of a garden.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about the design process. So if you know, I think the biggest thing, if we could get across to our listeners today, is take the leap of faith and get a plan together, because if you have a plan, then you can implement it all at once or a little at a time. But without that plan, people are gonna. I'm sure you've encountered this. They plant the wrong plantings in their yard, right?
They do all the time. I was just at a community. They're looking to hire us to redesign something after they already had someone do a design for all their buildings. And I'm like, well, there's something wrong here, because I see sun plants and shade-loving plants in the same plant bed. So something's going to have to get. We have to look at the microclimate. But no, when we're looking this is a design process, how we start with someone. I mean, it starts to get to know a person, sitting down with them, talking, and just trying to extrapolate what they're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people are reluctant, like, I don't want to spend all that money, and then maybe not like the design.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we start out with conceptual designs, and so that way we get a sign off before we go any further mm-hmm. with the design. And mm-hmm. so we're a service oriented profession, and we want to make our clients happy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sometimes people plant trees too close to the house.
Yes, a lot. I will say on Daniel Island, I'll pinpoint them because they have to have a landscape architect, but there's also tree requirements and planting requirements in Daniel Island. And we really have to plan properly because they want so many trees and vegetation that sometimes it can crowd out the architecture in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really try to think things in unique situations, specifically there because the requirements are so high.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're already trying to figure out how can we keep these trees away from the house, knowing that they're going to grow. There's root masses that are underground that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and those roots, we had a problem this past spring where the roots had invaded part of the pipes that are the outgoing sewer in our house and clogged up the pipes with the roots. This was a willow tree. Willow trees, I guess, are supposed to be notorious, right?
Yeah, plant a willow tree
near a house in general.
I mean, if you have a really large piece of property, that's fine, but never near a house because they will search. Those roots will specifically search out for water and sewer line. Yeah, they will.
Right. But if you have a plan, nobody likes to pay for the same thing twice or do the same work twice. And if you don't have a plan, there's a very good chance that you're going to have to, somewhere down the road, you're going to have to pay to correct problems. And if you just had that planned, whether it's implemented little by little or all at the same time, at least you have a plan and you're going to be avoiding mistakes. And so that ends up, the landscape architect ends up saving someone money.
Yes,
from that point of view.
Especially when we're trying to think about, like we mentioned, drainage. So I know everyone wants to spend money where they can see it, but sometimes the best money to put is to fix the drainage first.
Mm-hmm.
And the patio or fire pit may have to come second.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people say, I just want to get the fire pit or the patio in, and they don't solve some of the other issues, and they may have to come back and correct those and undo some things that they've already done.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And we've got the cooler months approaching. Is there anything that would affect you helping homeowners from that standpoint?
Not really so much that, except if they're planning on doing something in the spring, now's the time to start talking to us because everyone is so busy to get on a schedule and then just to properly plan for it. I mean, for a spring install, we need to be thinking about it now.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, how can folks get more information about Remark Landscape Architectural Studio?
Yeah, they can go to our website, www.remarkstudiollc.com, or give us a call, 843-952-7817.
Okay, great. Well, we have been talking with J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architectural Studio. Thanks so much, J.R.
Thank you. Bye.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And now we're talking with Walter Linville with All Pro Crawl Space Solutions. How you doing, Walter?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Walter, take a moment and tell everybody about All Pro Crawl Space Solutions.
Well, we are a newer company in the area, just specializing in crawl space encapsulations, trying to make Charleston healthier and happier by starting with the bottom floor of your home.
Gotcha. Let's kind of educate our listeners. What is the crawl space?
Crawl space is a space between your home and the floor, or the ground, pretty much.
Okay. Some people are their houses are built on a slab, mm-hmm. which is just means a concrete pad that was poured, and then the house was built right on top of that. And then most people have a crawl space, so their house is elevated couple 3 feet or
yeah,
maybe
typically
even bigger.
3-4 feet. Sometimes you do get what we like to call a walk crawl space, where you're able to walk and do our job.
Uh-huh.
Which
gotcha.
Are about 5-6 feet.
Encapsulating the crawl space, what does that mean?
It means you're literally closing it off from the elements. You're putting anywhere from 12 to 20 mil down on the floors, the run them up the
mil
walls.
What?
20 mil plastic. It's not. It's 20 mil thick, and it's nylon reinforced cordage also in the plastic as well.
And mil stands for?
The thickness of the millimeter. Yes.
Okay. And so I'm not all that sharp on metrics. How thick is like a 20 mil plastic lining that goes on in underneath the house and the crawl space?
It's thinner than your, what you would say your pinky is. It's much thinner than that, but it's, if you were to get a stack of probably 20 pieces of paper, that's about how thick it is.
Okay. And so it's not a flimsy plastic. It's meant to hold up to, you know, different things that might happen underneath the house.
Correct. And we do have a 25-year warranty with our 20-millimeter thickness plastic. That's how much we confide in our product.
Encapsulating a crawl space is a kind of a fairly new a new thing to do with your house, right?
Yes, it is new, but a lot of colleges, such as North Carolina State University, they have done studies. And there's actually a really good study that the North Carolina State University has done showing how much money a homeowner saves as well when they get a home encapsulated.
Mm-hmm. And so years ago, builders wanted the conventional wisdom was they wanted the house to breathe. There was a lot of air from the outside that would come into your house or underneath your house, wanted a lot of ventilation. And the thinking today with insulating your house with like spray foam insulation is to close up that house and only allow the air in that you from the outside that you want, that's designed to come in.
Correct. And with the encapsulation, you're essentially closing it off. We also put a dehumidifier that has a, not a HEPA-grade air filter, but it is an air filter similar to your HVAC unit. It filters the air. Not only that, you're climatizing the air. So we're keeping the moisture readings down on your joists, on your subfloor, and your 40% of the air you breathe comes from the crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
So you're breathing healthier air. You feel better. We have had some instances where not even 10 minutes of the dehumidifier being on, the wife goes to the husband, like, did they go ahead and finish it up today? And he comes out and asks us, did you turn on the dehumidifier yet? We say yes. He's like, my wife can already tell the difference. We already feel better. Our noses are starting to clear up. It's sinus season, and it definitely makes people feel better when they know their crawl space is clean.
If your crawl space is not encapsulated, then the air that's underneath there and is going to can come up through your floorboards, right?
Correct.
And sometimes people, if you've got a lot of moisture underneath your house, you can have wood floors can cup or twist, that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
People get can have allergies and have different the air quality inside their house might not be that good. There's creatures that are living underneath a house that's not encapsulated, right?
Typically, yes, we do come across a lot of pests such as rats, mice, snakes, roaches,
squirrels.
Slugs, swirls. But the biggest fear that we do have is the mold growth, mold and mildew, essentially any microbial growth. Because once, if you have a static air underneath your home, yes, you might have the vents to help get a cross breeze, but what you're doing with the vents is bringing in all of the moisture content from outside, the Charleston humidity, as well as all the mold spores. So typically, 9 times out of 10, 99.9% of the time, however you want to put it, there is mold growth in a home that is not encapsulated. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So when All Pro Crawl Space Solutions encapsulates a crawl space, it's sealing up that crawl space, and then you put a dehumidifier underneath there. Does that take a lot of energy to run that dehumidifier?
No, not at all. It actually starts to pay for itself after, I'd say, about 5 years. You see the biggest difference in the energy savings. Especially if your ductwork from the HVAC unit is in the crawl space, instead of having to cool down the ductwork at when it's 100 degrees and constantly cooling that down, then finally cooling your home down, it's at a constant temperature. So you're saving the HVAC cost by making sure that it's at a constant temperature in your crawl space, mm-hmm. as opposed to having it open to elements.
Our old house did not have an enclosed crawl space, and I remember particularly in the winter, the wood floors. This house was built in the 1940s, and you could kind of feel the cold air coming up through the wood floors.
Yes, yeah, you do get that a lot. And we have had one lady. We just finished her crawl space. It was in the dead of winter, and her heating and air system went out. So she spent the night on the floor in her first floor because the dehumidifier was going. It was at a constant temperature. It was manageable as opposed to being 30 degrees upstairs and no source of heat for her.
Mm-hmm. And so you, in the wintertime with an enclosed crawl space, you're not going to feel those cold drafts like maybe I used to experience, right?
Correct.
And then in the summertime, it's cooler underneath that house, and the air is humidified and so or dehumidified, so it's going to impact your energy bill, and you end up saving money. Your air conditioner's not running as much.
Correct. It's not running as much. It's not running as hard. It helps save the life of your HVAC unit as well in the long run, instead of having it work so hard during the summers.
And all that is awesome. Everybody wants to save money any way they can, but really what I think is one of the most appealing things about enclosing a crawl space is the health benefits. And you want to have healthy air quality inside your house. Does All Pro Crawl Space, do you ever do any kind of testing on what the air quality is inside a house before and after?
We do offer that. We can go as far as identifying how many species of mold that you would like to identify, like the specific species of mold, if you like. But typically what we do is we go in, we take the air sample, we take it in the home and where you feel is the most humid spot in your home, as well as the better spot in your home and in your crawl space. That way we get three different readings. You know how your home is actually breathing,
mm-hmm.
and what it's breathing in and what you're breathing in.
What have you heard from some of your customers who've had their crawl space encapsulated by All Pro Crawl Space Solutions?
Typically, they're overwhelmed with joy because they feel better, they're happy, they sleep better at night. We have, knock on wood, nobody has seemed to disapprove of it. I mean, it is a newer system, but a lot of people have gone to these newer systems because it's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. It's not like the fans that you put in the vents and you're dragging the humid air and everything else through and you can still breathe. You still feel horrible. The biggest reason why we're in this business is preserve people's homes and even more so help people live better lives by being healthier. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people tend to enjoy the fact about that's why we're in business.
And if you don't like those creepy crawly critters underneath your house, encapsulating that crawl space is gonna prevent them from getting underneath your crawl space, right?
It's more of a deterrent. It doesn't 100% prevent a rat from chewing through plastic. Mm. Rats chew through metal. It's more of a deterrent. So now it's cleaner, it's healthier, and they see a barrier, so they don't want to go in.
And plus, they have nowhere to hide underneath that house now, right?
Correct.
So if something does chew through the plastic, can they call All Pro Crawl Space to come back and patch that up or something?
Correct. If they do have the 20-millimeter plastic or the 12-millimeter plastic, we do tend to offer warranties with both of those, and that's included in the warranty.
Good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about All Pro Crawl Space Solutions?
Well, you can go ahead and give us a call at 843-742-1271.
And what about a website?
Our website is allprocrawlspacesolutions.com.
All right. Very good. Well, we have been talking with Walter Linville with All Pro Crawl Space Solutions. Thanks so much, Walter.
All right. Thank you.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Glenn Klepchik with KBRS Incorporated. How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Glenn, take a moment and describe what KBRS Incorporated is.
Well, KBRS is a manufacturing company that focuses primarily on custom designed and installer ready substrates for showers and wet areas.
Mm-hmm. What's a substrate?
A substrate is basically the, in the old days, they would say a shower had a mud bed. We're an alternative to mud beds. We also provide cores that can be actually put onto a surface, for example, a deck, to create a waterproof area beneath the deck. So we create basically the foundation for either custom showers or dried-in enclosures.
Gotcha. So before we started the interview, you referred to KBRS Incorporated as waterproof experts.
That's correct. At the core of our business, that's what we do. We stop leaks from occurring.
Gotcha. When and primarily we're talking about the bathroom area, the shower area, correct?
That's true. Yeah, that's our primary business. Now, we certainly do wet rooms. We do exterior decking solutions. We'll do exterior balconies. Our actual shower slope, our cores, can be used for a number of different purposes. Mm-hmm. They function the same way to move water into certain areas so they can drain properly and away from the facility.
Describe what most homeowners right now have in their walk-in shower, or let's concentrate on walk-in showers for a moment. What they have below the tile in their walk-in shower.
They have a disaster waiting to happen. Traditionally, showers have been of a mud bed construction, which is nothing more than a mortar base. And a mortar base with a rubber lining that is inherently designed to fail. It's designed to wick water away. But what people don't understand is that basically a mud bed will eventually become clogged. Any porous material is going to become clogged. And will back up, will pool water, or will find a way through that porous material into the substrate below that, which is generally plywood. And if it's not plywood, it's going to make its way out to the edge, which is basically the barrier, which may be the curb of the shower, which inherently is going to make its way to another area where water will erode or basically deteriorate that actual surface. 4 out of 10 showers today, currently, are failing. Mm-hmm. We are a solution to that problem. We have well over 100,000 installations and not a single leak. Mm-hmm. And that's due to our construction, it's due to our waterproofing solution, which we do call a solution because it's a well thought out, well researched, and also it's designed by fabricators for fabricators and installers. That's a proven solution. It does work.
If we have builders listening, if we have any tile installers or anyone in the stone fabrication business that listen to our radio show, what kind of a message would you have to them?
Search out KBRS. If you are looking to design either a remodel, if you're doing a tub-to-shower replacement, do the research. You can find us at WKBRS or www.kbrsinc.com. It will actually take you through the entire product line. It will afford you a number of different ideas on what you create. There is really no limit to the actual design that we can actually construct for you. It's really truly up to your imagination with your architect and your builder. It doesn't have to be your standard shower. It doesn't have to be a 4x6 or a 4x4 enclosed closet. It can be any shape, size that you can imagine, any drain location. It's the limitation is purely your imagination. We can build it.
So architect Christopher Rose, for example, I heard him speak recently, and he said he always puts the shower drains underneath the bench in a shower. He doesn't put the shower drain in the middle because no one likes
to stand in it.
That shower drain. So
right.
If Christopher Rose was speccing the shower, he could ask KBRS to design a shower pan with the drain over underneath
sure.
the bench?
Any location. Any location, any type of drain. Now, it doesn't have to be your typical square or rectangular grate. We have linear drains now. that are also tile in, so you actually make the drain disappear into what you have in the base of the shower, mm-hmm. Which is a great design option. I mean, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to look at a shower drain generally.
Right.
I mean, it's either clogged with hair or you've got soap scum on it. But here's the beauty of that is that the drain is now out of eyesight, and it also blends into the floor. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous way to do it.
The one thing that builders hate the most is callbacks.
Yeah.
They do not want to have to get that call from a previous customer saying that we've got a problem. That mm-hmm. that builder's usually going to be the first person that the homeowner calls when there's a leak in the shower or something like that. By the same token, builders have a reputation for being kind of old dogs, don't want to learn new tricks. What would you say to the builders out there, the professionals that are doing any work around the shower, as far as trying to save them some problems down the road?
Well, with any build, cost is always an issue. There's no question about it. Cost consciousness is an issue. When you look at it, a builder will, a B-back or a callback is the worst thing it can possibly have. It ties up their subs, it ties up their time, it's a liability from a standpoint of insurance issues. The cost can be astronomical. The complications that come from a callback could be not just the shower itself, but obviously structural, either near the shower, beneath the shower, downstairs from the shower. So of course, that's one of the reasons we exist, is that we've developed a platform that eliminates those callbacks, which in turn, saves the builder a ton of money, whether it's on the front end or the back end. So not only does it do that, but we also warranty our platform. Our solutions are warranted, both from a product as well as an installation perspective. In some cases, depending upon whether or not we install it, it comes with a lifetime warranty. Others have a 5 or 10 year, depending upon the installed product. But nobody else in the business does that, because it just is unheard of.
So builders have an incentive to suggest the KBRS product to their homeowners. I remember when we were building our house, our builder very oftentimes would suggest certain techniques or products and say, this will save you from having a problem down the road. And that's something that a builder should be doing with their customers is recommending the KBRS product in the shower.
You know, I believe truly that a builder has a fiduciary duty to do what's best for their customer. No question about it. They should install the best that they possibly can if it's within their budget. And don't get me wrong, it's not that this is an astronomically priced option. It's not. When you look at the actual costs associated with either a slope or a basin that we install or is installed on behalf of us, the costs, when you look at the actual manpower hours, it actually turns out that it's a cost savings for the builder. Because the amount of work that they can do while they used to be spending time waiting on an old mud bed to dry is now a revenue opportunity for a builder. They can actually secure additional business, additional jobs, and be on the job that much quicker by installing a KBRS system. So it's a win-win. It's a win-win for not only the builder, but the homeowner gets the best of breed technology, gets the comfort and the security that this is going to work, that they're not going to have downstream problems. And at the same time, the builder can be in and out and onto something else that's revenue generating, as opposed to waiting on that actual mud bed to dry and to cure before they call in their tile guy or their tile contractor. So it's a win-win all the way across.
Well, let's kind of switch gears and talk about why a homeowner should know about the KBRS product and why they should be telling their builder that they want the KBRS shower pan in their shower. You know, if they you mentioned that 4 out of 10 showers will fail.
Are failing.
Yeah. Are currently failing. The homeowners may not even know about it. Termites are terrible in the low country.
Sure.
They need a source of water, and so if the termites are able to find that leak that's occurring in that shower right now, they may not even need that to have that mud tube going down to the ground that the termite inspector would be looking for. They might be able to do all their damage, you know, right up on the maybe the second floor of your house, and you don't even know it until it's too late. So obviously that's a big problem. Water damage. What kind of a message do you have to homeowners about why they need the KBRS system?
Well, you make an interesting point about the termites and the destruction that they can cause, but the other one is actually black mold. It's not just about the destruction and deterioration of the actual structure itself. Now, that comes with the actual water damage. Concern yourself with sick home syndrome. You know, a wet shower that stays wet is just, it's a petri dish for mold growth. Mm-hmm. So if you have any allergies, especially which are so pervasive down here in the Southeast, it's the worst thing you could possibly have. So black mold is certainly a major concern.
Houses are being built so tight.
They sure are. They sure are. They are a breeding ground for this. And because a house doesn't breathe like it used to, you just have basically a moist environment where it's not going to get any better. It's not going to dry out. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So to that extent, that's one of the huge benefits of installing a system like ours. Because it is a guaranteed process to move the water out of that wet area, out of the house, through your actual sewer system, and create this really almost a completely dried-in vessel. I mean, it even works in steam shower environments. So you think about a steam shower, which is inherently designed to create a moisture area. This is the best solution in the world for a steam shower because it will not penetrate the walls. It will not get into your 2x4s. It'll eventually drain out. It will drain down through the system itself and out through a secured portal, which is basically the drain system itself.
Am I correct in referring to this as a shower pan that might not?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, sure.
The KBRS shower pan. That's not the most exciting product for a homeowner to pick out. They love picking out the countertops and the window treatments and the lighting.
Right.
The stainless steel appliances, but they really do need to pay attention to some of the some of the other products, because hey, who wants to, you know, be shocked to learn that that they've got a leak and it's going to require, you know, tearing out the shower area, disrupting their lives, costing thousands of dollars to repair that kind of water damage, and they can avoid that by going with the KBRS shower pan.
No question, it's not a sexy product. It's basically boxer shorts for your shower. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody looks at it like it's exciting, but it's the same thing. Would you put non-pressure treated lumber into a deck outside? Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. It's the same mentality. Mm-hmm. If you have the ability to go ahead and put a product in your house that's going to guarantee that it's going to last a lifetime or pretty close to it, why wouldn't you do that? Mm-hmm. Why would you spend that kind of money? You could see the old adage, pay me now or pay me later.
What's the cost difference between having your builder or tile installer come in and put that mud bath down that's guaranteed to leak versus installing a KBRS shower pan?
Well, I can't tell you what the downstream expense is because I don't know how catastrophic the failure is going to be. But I can tell you this, that the marginal difference between doing a mud bed versus doing a pan or a basin is, it depends on the size, but it's not more, it's a nominal amount. Mm-hmm. It's a few hundred dollars difference when all is said and done. The real cost savings is to the contractor, and in turn, hopefully to the builder that says, my man hours now are less. Mm-hmm. So they can, if that contractor, which they should actually port that savings onto the actual homeowner, it should be a push. Mm-hmm. When all is said and done. In certain cases, our system actually is cost beneficial to install, depending upon what type of shower somebody's putting in. If you talk about a highly complex designed, you know, maybe it's a frameless glass shower with multiple heads and multiple drain locations where they're going to have to try and mud bed that, our system is heads above it. Mm-hmm. Because we can actually architect, engineer, design, and build it and then have it installed in half the time. Mm-hmm. Half the time.
We organized an event recently at the Charleston Fall Home Show for architects called Shark Tank Architect Edition, and KBRS was one of about 20 vendors that presented a 60-second pitch to the architects, and I can tell you the feedback I got, the architects loved the KBRS product. They really felt like it was something that they would be recommending to their customers that were building new custom homes. And so I think that says a lot.
Well, we appreciate that. I mean, that was a great opportunity for us to showcase our product. The beauty of what we actually have to offer them is that it lets their imagination run wild. If they can think it up, we can build it for them. Mm-hmm. So they can go back to their homeowner and say, gosh, we're going to turn your bathroom into an oasis. And that's actually what a bathroom has become, is their kind of their personal spa. And our platform, our solutions, our basins and our slopes can be shaped in anything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had, showers that are 86-inch diameter circles. We've had others that are eight different angles with it may have a bench and it might have a steamer area and it might have two wet and dry areas. So you could dry towels, for example, in environments, for example, at the beach. You have a walk-in where you'll have a towel drop off and then you'll actually have a wet area and a dry area. So there's nothing that we can't create. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. And that's why architects certainly should love it.
How can folks get more information about KBRS?
The best way to find it is obviously our website, which is www.kbrsinc.com. That is actually our portal. It also goes and directs to our online. You can purchase our products online for our standard sizes, including our niches. And we create not only our own niches, but we also have pre-manufactured seats and benches. We have standard size slopes that are available. We have kits for the do-it-yourselfers, as well as the contractors that have a tub-to-shower replacement, as we mentioned earlier. But that's the best way to get us, mm-hmm. is www.kbrsinc.com.
Will they be able to find a local installer or where they can purchase it locally?
They will. We have limited markets that do that, primarily along the southeastern coast. We have one right here in Charleston. We have another in Hilton Head. We're expanding out very rapidly up and down the coast to have our local microfactories available. And then the rest of the country is serviced by our online marketplace.
And one of those installers is Atlantic Stone, and they are a natural stone fabricator.
Right.
And I know that they're just crazy about this KBRS system, and they embrace it. They don't want the callbacks.
That's right.
when they install the tile into the shower areas in the bathrooms that they're working on, they want to make sure that customer is never going to have a problem in the future.
That's right, and that's what we hope to do with all of our partners. And we have a very large partner program that is spreading out across the country. We also have a university now that will actually bring our partners in to train them specifically on the installation process and all of our products, guaranteeing that those installations go right the first time. Mm-hmm. We stand behind our product, we stand behind our partners, and we're excited to have Atlantic Stone as a partner. They're a fabulous partner.
Good deal. Well, we have been talking with Glenn Klepczyk with KBRS Incorporated. Thanks so much, Glenn.
Thanks. Talking about a home. Talking about me and you, the things we'll do or say to home. I'm not talking about a one night stand. I wanna be your man.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show and the Custom Home and Remodel Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit newhomecharleston.com, Charleston's online home show, and home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you.